Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. During his ministry, Jesus once asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They gave him several different answers of guesses as to his identity from the people. But then Jesus asked, "And who do you say that I am?" And Peter rightly confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, the Lord Jesus declared, "On this rock I will build my church." The rock of the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that rock, the church being founded, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Now, mind you, Jesus said these words at a time when there weren't all that many who were following him. Poor, lowly sinners, tax collectors, fishermen, and others. And after declaring that his church would never fall at the hands of hell, he then declared to those same disciples that he would soon be rejected by his own people and suffer and die in humility on a cross. To the eye, it seemed to be a wild statement that the church of Jesus Christ would stand for. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later, that mighty Roman Empire that convicted Jesus to death is but ruins and relics. The temple, overseen by the Jewish religious leaders who called for his crucifixion, is rubble. Kingdoms have risen and fallen. Emperors have ascended to thrones and been overthrown. Nations have been established and then conquered. And yet, Jesus' words remain true. The Christian church continues to stand firm on the confession that he is Lord alone. As we consider what Jesus said and how that has proven true throughout the centuries, we must confess, as it is written in Proverbs chapter 30, every word of God proves true. Despite the millions upon millions of assaults that hell has fired against the church, still the church stands. When the devil stirred up bloody persecutions of Christians in the first few centuries of her existence, as he still does around the world today, the church was not hindered or stunted in her growth. Rather, the church received so many new members during that time of persecution that one early church father declared, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And yet another one wrote, "Even the executioner's swords became blunt and worn out. The executioners themselves became weary and had to take turns. But the Christians raised their voices in hymns of glory, praise and thanks to Almighty God, until their very last breath of life." Hell's threats of suffering and death against those who confess Jesus Christ to be Lord did not hinder the church. In fact, it encouraged her growth. The devil did not give up, as the devil inspired new and false doctrines, doctrines that became the teaching of the most prominent churches, as he provoked men to seek their own glory, particularly those who were at the head of the church, rather than the glory of God. As men attempted to take the throne of God from Jesus himself, the church still stood. And the true head and Lord of the church, Jesus, raised up men through whom the pure gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, was proclaimed again with full voice. The church, even when her confession became corrupted by human laws and traditions, still stood firm. She could not be defeated. But again, even though the church has stood firm over the centuries, the gates of hell haven't given up their assaults. Today, those fiery darts still continue to be fired at the church and her members. Atheism and materialism, which proclaim the hopeless news that all of existence is the result of random chance, with no design, no purpose, no goal. This is the assumed worldview in almost every secular institution. And if there is any place for spirituality, then it must conform to the idea of religious pluralism, which preaches as its chief virtues tolerance and diversity, worshiping a universal God that can be known by many names to many different religions. And still, as it was in the beginning, there are those who claim to be Christians, both church and clergy, and yet publicly and shamelessly voice their support for false teaching and even flagrant unrepentant sin. Nevertheless, every word of God proves true. Even though still today hell continues to assail the church, still from hundreds, thousands, even millions of pulpits around the world today, the word of the cross is being preached. In churches all around the globe, worshipers are singing and praying to the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At fonts, both ornate and simple, sinners young and old are receiving the washing of rebirth and renewal in the waters of holy baptism. At altars of every shape and size, the sacrament of Holy Communion is being administered and received in true faith, that the body and blood of Jesus Christ is being received under the bread and wine in every mouth. Despite every generation's claim that this, at last, is the end of the church, her final gasp, still, every word of the Lord proves true. Still, the church stands. For the church is built on the rock, the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And therefore, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is right that we consider the church on this Pentecost day. For our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, died on the cross, rose again, ascended into heaven, and gave the gift of the Holy Spirit so that his church would be called out, gathered from the fallen human race. What he foretold on that day when he said to Peter and the disciples, "On this rock I will build my church," he fulfilled on the Pentecost day, when that Holy Spirit was visibly poured out on the disciples. And filled with the Spirit, they proclaimed the great deeds of God with fiery tongues in every language under heaven, so that the church would be founded and would go forth, spread across the face of the whole earth. And the church is still found today, found on earth. It must be found, because outside of the church there is no holiness, there is no salvation. Because after all, remember, the church is the assembly of all those who are called, gathered, and forgiven their sins. Whoever does not belong to the church necessarily belongs to the world that is perishing. Whoever is outside of the church is without God and then has no hope in the world. And so God wills that his church be found. God wills that all people, in fact, find the church, for he desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ sent his apostles with this commission: go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why, as we heard on Ascension Day, Jesus sent the apostles saying, go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. That's why the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples on Pentecost, so that they could speak in the languages of all people, so that all would be called to repentance, all would be forgiven, that through baptism and the word of God, the doors of the church would be open to everyone. Of course, not all enter those doors. As deeply as God desires to save everyone, many desire just as deeply to reject God. And they reject him by rejecting his word. Contrary to what Jesus said in our gospel lesson today, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. The world doesn't love Jesus, and therefore they reject his word. You know it. You hear it. how they mock and ridicule, make fun of God's word. They call it outdated and irrelevant, or at best, they consider it of equal standing with pagan works of old. But there are other ways that we might reject God's word, not as blasphemous, not as overt. There are many who are simply lukewarm or indifferent to the word of God. There are those who are members of congregations, and yet they don't take God's word seriously. They don't, as we learn in the Catechism, hold God's word sacred, but as common. They do not gladly hear and learn it, but do so grudgingly, with boredom, only at the urging of family and friends. They despise the word of God by elevating other earthly activities, even good things, to the same level or even above it. Family, friends, sleep, shopping, sports. But again, hear what Jesus has to say. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He will keep it. And if that happens, Jesus promises, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. But then he says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Jesus speaks clearly here. Whoever does not keep his words does not love him. And if you don't love Jesus, what does that make you? An unbeliever. And so today, let us all examine our own hearts. Let us consider how we have kept Jesus' word. Let us consider how we have loved Christ. I think we will all find in our hearts times, occasions, maybe even a lingering rejection of God's word, or at least apathy. If so, repent. Turn from that rejection. Turn from your indifference. Turn from your loveless ways. Confess your sins to God your Father, and then receive his word of absolution, that is, his word of forgiveness. Receive this word and hold fast to it in faith. For our Lord's promise does not fail, even though sinners may reject it. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Repent and believe the good news, that through the word you have forgiveness, life, salvation. By keeping the word, you have God himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who dwells with you. For this reason, it is of the utmost importance that we seek out and find and join those churches where the Word of God is taught truthfully and purely. This is what the early Christians did. After that first Pentecost, those who were baptized, those who had come to faith, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, it says in Acts chapter 2. The teachings of the church were not considered to be a small matter. It wasn't just one part of the congregation. It was the main thing. The people who joined the church didn't simply listen or hear or even learn the apostles' teaching. Instead, they devoted themselves to it. They made it their priority. And even more, Luke, inspired by the Spirit, says they devoted themselves the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship. There were no Lone Ranger Christians, as one of my professors in college used to put it. Instead, they joined together. They were called and gathered together, united in doctrine, in faith, in love, that together, as a people, as a body, through mutual encouragement, admonition, rebuke, and exhortation, together they might confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Let us follow that example today, as we are all members of Christ's church. Let us also devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, and let us devote ourselves to the fellowship, teaching and fellowship that is inspired and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. For again, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The true and pure word and the rightly administered sacraments. That's where you can find the church. That's where you can find Jesus. For in the Word of God, Jesus is present to admonish, to forgive, to strengthen, to sanctify. Gathered around these, we may be confident that the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is here dwelling with us. Again, think of all the storms that the Christian church has weathered throughout her 2,000 years. She has weathered these storms because she was built on the solid rock, the foundation that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is to say, the church is built on the Word. Through persecution, heresy, schism, still the church has been preserved, renewed, and even spread, all because of the Word of God. If you want to find the church, find God's Word, preached loud and clear. For if anyone loves Jesus, he will keep his word. We Lutherans, therefore, may be glad and rejoice on this Pentecost day. For we might not have the numbers or the works or the impressive buildings that human reason seeks. We have God's Word. And so read your catechisms. Find the Word of God. Read your Bibles. Dwell in the Word of God. Pray in the Word of God. Sing hymns inspired by the Word of God. Come to church and listen to the Word of God. As long as you have the Word of God, you have a firm foundation that will never fall. Even if our congregation should close down someday, or the Missouri Synod should fall apart someday, still the Word of God will never fail. For it is from God Himself. And as Jesus says, this foundation cannot even be overcome by the gates of hell. And so once again, like the church on that first Pentecost day, let us devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. For on this foundation we will stand together. As we stand with believers throughout the ages, as we stand with those believers who are still to come until the day when Jesus Christ returns in glory to judge both the living and the dead. And on that day, all of God's promises will be fulfilled. And the church that has endured many trials since the beginning will be at rest, triumphant, in the presence of her Lord and God. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.